He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, May 17th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And so far, we're off to a pretty good start here in the market, especially if you're in the innovation stocks. If you own ARK funds, you're doing very well today. That's kind of where the action is tilted, towards the high tech. NASDAQ up 1.9% today. We'll call it Momentum Tuesday. NASDAQ's at 11,875 after once hitting 16,000 here not that long ago. S&P 500 holding on to that 4,000 level. It's up 56 points today to 4,064. The Dow is up 352. That's a 1.1% move. The Dow holding that 32,000 level, 32,576. The small cap's up 1.9% today. Definitely a risk-on kind of day. The Russell 2000's at 1817. It has been above 2000, though, however. Crude oil is having another good day. It's up 87 cents. Believe it or not, well, I guess you don't have any choice but to believe it. It's at $115.07, $115.07 per barrel. The oil stocks may be a little bit of profit-taking there after another good day yesterday. Gold is up $9. It's holding that 1800 level. The 10-year up 10 basis points today, which is kind of surprising to see those momentum stocks go higher. But that's where it is. It's at 2.97. And Bitcoin, a little buying there. It's up $1,000 roughly to 30,499. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. With professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And yesterday, I would say, you know, the market stumbled. But boy, the oil and gas and the fertilizer stocks. You know, Barry, there seems to be about three camps in the market. And the vast majority of days, camp number one is the best one. That's the fertilizer, oil and gas, the drillers, the miners, the wheat stocks, the grain stocks, the farming, the agriculture. That's led the market more days than not here in 2022. And then you have at the other end of that spectrum, you've got the momentum stocks, and that's the, you know, the stocks that make up the ARK funds, the Shopify's of the world, the Teladocs, et cetera. And every once in a while, they have a really good day, and today is one of those days. I was just looking at who the leaders are. And there's another factor in the market today, and that is the slow reopening of Shanghai. And I'm seeing quite a bit of action in, you know, a lot of the likely candidates there, NIO and Li Auto and Pinduoduo and Alibaba, etc., C Energy, SE, etc. So I would just say that if you're loaded up on the speculative long-duration stocks, you're having a really good day today. But, you know, more days than not this past year, that has been a really, really tough place to be. All right. Well, I would call the stocks of yesterday, definitely the leadership was in the oil patch. Once again, Devon Energy, Apache. Well, why not? Look, Barry, oil is at $115 per barrel. Where is that going to put gas at the local gas station here real soon?
Yeah, and natural gas is up another 4% today. I was looking at the numbers on the year. You know, oil is up. You know, this is just to start the year, right? And oil is up 54%. This thing has started the year around 74.8. So let's just call it $75 a barrel. Natural gas was at 3.73. Now natural gas is at $8.29,
wow.
Up
122%.
So. Wheat's up 62. The one spot you don't want to be in is really lumber. Lumber's actually down 31% this year, and it's actually down 4. I was seeing, I think number on lumber was, for a while, was down 14% today. It's up. It's kind of gotten a little bounce back, but with the with some pessimism in the home builders, saw that report come out today. So. Definitely an interesting, certainly I like your one camp kind of, the commodity kind of camp. And then of course on the other end of the spectrum is the high revenue growth, no earnings.
Exactly.
Spectrum. So.
Yep. And they are really underwater here year to date. And I can't really see any reason. You know, I teased a little bit with a tweet. We'll talk about Twitter here in a bit. Saying, hey, on today's show, it's the momentum stocks are moving. Is it time to get back in? My answer to that is a resounding no, because I still believe that the rising interest rates have a lot further to go, and that's not a good environment for them. Okay, retail sales continue to climb strongly in April. And I mentioned just in my travels over the weekend, I didn't see any weakness in the consumer in the Atlanta area, at the Atlanta ballpark, etc. What do you make of today's retail sales, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, as we've mentioned, I mean, kind of the world's growth engine really has been the consumer here in the U.S. In terms of, you know, recovery wise, right? We've certainly had the fastest and smoothest recovery, right? Coming out of COVID, you know, at first you had China kind of being second place, right? In terms of comeback, Europe was far behind, and then of course China's had, you know, very choppy. I guess to put it mildly, very choppy, return from COVID. And of course, Europe, right? And now, you know, we've got, war breaking out in the eastern, areas of Europe. So, U.S. is really, as we've mentioned, is kind of the only game in town. And, you know, from a retail sales perspective, up, you know, 0.9%, came in a little bit more than expected. Interesting number is from March. You know, the number was revised from 0.7 to 1.4. So,
wow.
Essentially doubled, the reading from, in March. So it's a very, I mean, we know at the same time, right, prices are going up as well, but, it's still, like you said, you're still seeing, folks spending, buying. I mean, we don't know if that's on credit or money that they actually have, but one way or the other, they're spending it.
Yeah. And then, you know, we continue to watch for this, fear of demand destruction, to where prices get so high from inflation that the consumer starts to balk, but we're not seeing that yet. So that's why we watch those retail sales so closely.
Yep.
And so far, there doesn't seem to be any demand destruction.
And two pieces of note, two things I think are interesting. Gas station sales jumped 36.9% year over year.
Gas station sales. Does that include beef jerky? And all that
stuff? I think it's probably, and most of that, my guess is at the pump. But yeah, I think it does actually include. My guess is it would include everything. But
drinks that freeze your brain, you know, for a while, right before the radio show and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, and food services, right? Food services and drinking places increased 19.8%.
Okay, so the consumer is still strong. Yep. Okay, now Twitter. I want to talk about Twitter just for a minute. We'll talk about before the break, and then when we come back a little bit more. I'm almost starting to wonder if Musk isn't on a kind of a fishing mission to really expose Twitter. You know, I grew up in the outdoor advertising business, the billboard business. And traffic counts are a big deal. You pay a lot more for a billboard on the Dan Ryan Expressway in Chicago than you pay for a little side street down in San Diego. It's all about eyeballs and traffic counts. And Twitter charges for advertising based on eyeballs. Now, Musk has an issue. He's trying to get them to come clean on how many fake accounts they have. They claim in their SEC filing, okay, this is going to come to a head here at some point in time, that the fake accounts, the bots, that this and that, are under 5%. And I hear from users of Twitter that are on there a lot that they think it's like 50%. Musk is throwing out a 20%. Well, this has a lot to do with the value of the stock. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kitus, the Best Stocks Now Show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with the Dow up 300 right now, the S&P up 53, the NASDAQ up 199, giving up a little bit here. The crude oil is up 96 cents to $115.16. Gold is holding on to 1800. It's at 1820. And the 10-year is up 10 basis points. Bad day for bond funds, 2.98 on gold. And Bitcoin has reclaimed 30,000 for now. It's at 30,409. 30,000 kind of seems like it's a support level these days. Okay, so the reason why Musk wants more clarity, he may have been after this right from the start. You know, it's hard. You never know with Elon, but I think he kind of has a bone to pick with Twitter. And Twitter doesn't seem like they really want to come clean with how many fake accounts they have. I kind of see on Twitter side them saying, hey, the deal's on, let's take the money, we're good, and let's move on. And Musk is going, oh, wait a minute. He says, you, in your filings with the SEC, you are making the claim that less than 5%, which I have a hard time believing, of your accounts are fake and bots and whatnot, spam accounts. Well, you know, Twitter could get into a lot of trouble, actually, because if they're telling the SEC one thing, and telling, even more importantly, their advertisers one thing, that here's how many people are on Twitter every day. Well, how inflated is that number? If you're only backing out 5%, like you say, and it's actually more like 40% or 30%, you could owe your advert. There could be some real class action lawsuits against Twitter coming from the advertiser. So, you know, anything Musk enters into ends up being a big controversy. But, you know, he's after things that we deserve to know. The investors deserve to know. The advertisers deserve to know how many fake accounts there are. And how many fake accounts are there that go after, you know, ideas or tweets that the Twitter doesn't like. So, anyways, that's where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, there's yeah, I'm sure besides the SEC, I'm sure there's plenty of congressmen and women that would like to that would like to see what that number is as well.
Yeah, I've seen. Well, this past year, we belong to a club that brings in a lot of journalists on a monthly basis. And book writers and whatnot, and pretty high-powered ones, big ones. I really like it. I really enjoy it. And several months ago, I sat next to the woman who wrote The Laptop from Hell. She was real interesting to talk to. And then this past week, I sat next to Molly Hemingway, who wrote a lot about this last election, Molly Hemingway, is with the Federalist. And she claims, you know, the media itself, she says, she's an old-time journalist, which there aren't hardly any anymore. The school of journalism is not what it used to be. And she was just talking about it's mostly, you know, they're just spreading whatever opinion they want because they carry so much weight. In other words, propaganda. A lot of it's just propaganda. How much propaganda, how much involved in the propaganda game is Twitter? Well, Musk is going to get to the bottom. If there's a guy that will get to the bottom of it, it's Elon Musk. So anyways, Wedbush Securities is saying that Twitter is in a tough spot. They're going to have to open their books a little bit. There's going to have to be a little bit more disclosure on their part. And there's a 60% chance Elon Musk walks away from the deal. I certainly would walk away from the deal if they're claiming that 5% of the people on the site every day are bots and fake accounts, and it's a much bigger number than that. Well, that definitely lowers the valuation of Twitter. And Twitter stock has really been hammered since all of this controversy began. Well, Barry, fasten your seatbelt for about 2 o'clock this afternoon through 4 o'clock. Jerome Powell is going to speak. You know, there's a lot of times when you're sitting there, you're watching the market, it's doing just fine, it's up 300, all of a sudden it's down 500. You go, what in the heck just happened? Well, Jerome Powell was speaking somewhere, and he uttered a word, 75 basis points or something like that, you know. It's not transitory, whatever. A phrase out of Jerome Powell's mouth can turn the whole market around in just a matter of seconds. So 2 o'clock p.m., if you feel the earth shake a little bit and a tremor and the market starts to sell off, or you can blame the Fed's Mester, he speaks. I don't know if it's a he or she actually speaks at 2:30 p.m.
Yeah, Loretta.
Oh, no, that's Loretta. Yes, okay. Yep. Get back, Loretta.
She's speaking at an inflation conference.
So that's got to be interesting.
That sounds exciting, right?
Yeah, yeah. I read, too, that the tickets price keeps rising day by day in advance of that inflation conference and the cost of coffee and all that kind of stuff. Druckenmiller, I don't think there's an N in there. It's Druckenmiller. He's a Soros guy. He used to be with George Soros. He was the portfolio manager of Soros's Quantum Fund. He now owns his own fund. And guess what he's buying? He bought $250 million worth of oil and gas stocks during Q1. Well, he's certainly in the right place. He's bought Coterra, CTRA, Pioneer, Cenovus, CVE, which is a refining stock. I like all these stocks I'm naming here. Antero, AR, Phillips 66, which is another refining stock, PSX, Chevron. And one that's kind of controversial, we own too, and it hasn't done that well, but it's having a good day today. He also bought Freeport MacMoran, FCX, which is a little bit more sensitive to the economy with their exposure to copper. So anyways, it's always good to see. And, of course, Warren Buffett's biggest buys recently have also been oil stocks. He's been buying Occidental Petroleum. So one other one, David Einhorn, I see he's adding a couple stocks to his portfolio. One of them is one that we own that's really kind of a little-known stock, Southwestern Energy, SWN. We own that in our emerging growth portfolio. That's one of his biggest buys, Greenlight Capital. He's a very well-known guy. And he's buying a shipping stock, International Seaways, INSW. And before we go to close, I'd say that I read that Germany today has decided to go ahead and close their nuclear power plants, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And they're going to try to go it alone on replacing that Russian oil and gas. And they may go a tariff route instead, placing big tariffs. But in the meantime, the shipping lanes are going to be full of crude crossing the oceans of the of the earth. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be back with some individual stocks in the second half of the show. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. A little bit of air coming out of the tires here of the market. The S&P right now is up 41. That's 1%. It was up about 1.5%. The NASDAQ's up just 156 right now. It was up about 250. And the Dow, which was up over 300, is now up 191. I haven't really had a chance to dig into the markets all that much, other than the fact I saw that Chinese stocks were doing well, which I have very little interest in because of the comeback, you know, people starting to go back to work very slowly over in China, in Shanghai in particular. We're still seeing a big rise in interest rates today, up 8 basis points, 2.96 right now. And crude oil is still up 81 cents to 115.01. The crude stocks had a really good day yesterday. They're a little bit on the quiet side here today. You just wonder how much higher oil can go. Most articles I read, most analysts I listen to, you know, I'm not an expert on oil, but most of the ones that I respect and listen to, they think that it can go back to that old high, which it hit earlier this year of around 130. And, you know, we're not really seeing any efforts, Barry, to pump, drill. We're not seeing that, are we? And it's a supply problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I mean, at this point, I don't think it's a demand issue, right? I mean, you could get some demand destruction, but I mean, in terms of industrial production, utilization, right? I just saw where that, that came in a little higher than expected. So, you know, company inventories. So inventories rose higher than expected this past month. And so what that tells you, right, is that there's been more economic activity in the U.S. In building back inventories that have been depleted, right? Hopefully that will kind of get, you know, at least supply-demand mismatches, right, under control.
Yeah.
And so any of those, you know, a lot of those factories, right, they're using, using energy in some form or fashion. Right. And so, there's a lot of, I certainly see, more tailwinds than headwinds for the price of oil.
And and this whole business of, really putting pressure on us to move to an electric car, man, excuse me, as I drive across America, I see very few electric cars. I see maybe 1 in 100, if that. There's a long ways to go before America. I know it's happening a little more quickly in Europe, but as far as America goes, it's going to be a long slog to get to the electric vehicles and decrease that demand for oil and gas, to get those charging stations up and running. There's a lot of work. It just seems to me like years.
Yeah, that electric dually it seems like it's a ways away, right?
Yes. But so I just don't see. And in the meantime, you're putting all this pressure on the gas and oil companies to make it hard for them to explore and to produce. Berkshire, what are they buying? You know what? Citigroup. I wouldn't. The banks just look terrible to me right now, even with rising interest rates. They just do not look very good. Chicago wheat surges to 2-month high as India bans exports. You mentioned that yesterday, that India is going to hoard their wheat. We're a big wheat producer, the United States. I don't imagine we'll hoard. But there could be, you know, we've already seen the baby food, the baby formula shortage and shortages and other kind of weird things like cream cheese and whatnot. But wheat is a staple. And we'll see what happens to the price of wheat, but the futures are hitting all-time highs. AMD having a good day. That's one of the areas of the market. Last time I looked, SOXL, which is three times the semiconductors, it was up 9.9%. So that's the semiconductor index. Right now it's up 8.7%, but AMD is getting a big upgrade today. I would just say this about AMD, which we're back in. That's a good chart. I mean, that chart is shaping up. Okay, that's a chart that has been in a downtrend since $164 per share, and it went clear down to $84, all right? AMD lost almost half of its value. And the, you know, the thing about it is that's nothing happened to their earnings, Barry. Nothing. Their earnings, if anything, they had a blowout
quarter.
Probably
got better, right?
They got better. They had a blowout quarter. So like we told you at the beginning of the year, what has happened is they've seen a big compression, a decline in their multiple, the P.E. ratio. In fact, the P.E. on AMD is down to 28. So if they're expected to make $5 per share next year, that means that their forward P.E. is 19.9. That's pretty reasonable, and that forced us back into the stock. I mean, I've always loved AMD. It just dominates. It runs circles around Intel. And AMD has put in a pretty nice bottom here in the mid-80s, and now it's starting to curve upwards, that chart. That's a pretty good chart, actually. The relative strength is still fairly weak at 56. But we are back into AMD. They got an upgrade today. Piper Sandler upgrades, citing overblown worries, and they raised their target price to $140. I don't have a problem with that target at all. The stock's currently at $99.05, which gives it about 40% upside potential. Just be warned, though, on the big down days in the NASDAQ, which we still have many, AMD does not do well on those days. But it certainly does look like it has put in a bottom. I can't say the same for NVIDIA. NVIDIA is still a fairly weak chart. Maybe in a couple of weeks I'll be able to say, you know, that one's put in a bottom, too. And there's no guarantee that AMD bottom will hold. But of all of the semiconductor stocks, AMD looks the best.
Well, when the forward PE is to note on NVIDIA, and it always has a little bit more of a premium just because of some of the space it's in. But, you know, the forward PE there is 30, where, yep. 30.5, whereas the forward PE for AMD is, right at 20. So, you've got, in our opinion, I think we've got a better valuation, set up. Both of the names, in terms of companies, right, are great. And certainly, I don't think that supply-demand mismatch in the chip space is going to end anytime soon. But in terms of valuations, AMD is, essentially, 33% cheaper from a PE standpoint.
Yeah, and it's a faster grower.
Right.
NVIDIA's been growing by 30% per year over the last 5 years. AMD has been growing by 130%. 130%. NVIDIA's just got that little extra kick of the gamers, with their gaming chips, and it's into the Bitcoin more than the AMD is. So it has a little bit more of that cult following. Like a Tesla or an Apple, than AMD has. But, man, I like AMD way better here. Anyways, only time will tell. But we don't want to own 100% tech stocks right now. I said this morning in my tweet, I said, hey, today's a good day to own 100% tech stocks. Yesterday was a horrible day. And most days this year, the NASDAQ's down about 20% this year. So it hasn't been a good way to go here. But to own a few still makes sense. Okay, one other one here. Well, a couple of earnings reports. I thought this was kind of a surprise. Walmart, they reported a miss. That's got to be inflation. They reported a miss of 18 cents. They beat on revenue. So when you beat on revenue and you miss your earnings, that's got to be a margin issue. That means you're probably more than likely that their costs have gone up. And Walmart, which I think is a member of the Dow, is down 8.4% right now. That's kind of a surprise on Walmart. And let's see. Oh, they lowered their guidance going forward. Okay, so there's the biggest reason they're down. Remember what I always said? Just watch what happens when a company raises or lowers guidance. Guidance. It reacts immediately to that, and so do the indexes. This is Bill Gunnarsson, Barry Kite. What's jumping off the page today? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, a lot of that risk on is coming off the table. Maybe there's advance rumors of what Powell's going to say at 2 o'clock. That's the next big event that's going to happen that will impact the markets. The commodities are holding up. Gold's up $5. Oil is still up today. But the Dow's only up 108 right now, and the Nasdaq's only up 99. I'm just telling you, every rally I've seen in that Nasdaq, and especially in the the ARC-like stocks, it gets sold off. And we're seeing that happen again here today so far. All right, I think the news out of Germany that they're going to continue to, they've decided to not go the nuclear energy route, which a lot of other countries are going. I know the UK is definitely going that route, and I think that is going to be bullish, continue to be bullish for the shipping of stocks that ship natural gas, liquefied LNG gas. That seems to be what Germany's lifeline will be. There's a couple there that look pretty good. Let's first go to the shipping end of things. The U.S. actually approved a pipeline today. It's in the news, which is pretty shocking. It's a 37-mile pipeline intended to supply the proposed Driftwood liquefied natural gas terminal in Louisiana. It cleared a draft environmental review by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, which is pretty surprising. They determined the project would result in some adverse environmental impacts, but not significant, with some recommended mitigation measures. The project, which would supply gas to the Driftwood LNG terminal, would involve dual 42-inch diameter pipelines, blah, blah, blah. But the name of the company that's involved in this, and we've talked about it before, is Tellurian, and the symbol is TELL, T-E-L-L. Tellurian's Driftwood LNG would become highly profitable as long as LNG markets remain strong. But there are considerable execution and financing risks, says Jonathan Weber in an analysis newly published on Seeking Alpha. But I've been watching that stock tell. It is kind of a long duration stock. I mean, a pipeline does not get built overnight and a terminal and everything. But getting this okay is definitely a big plus to move this project forward. It's similar to what the stock LNG does. They have their terminal, their pipeline. They load it onto ships, And those ships cross the ocean with LNG, and they're sold out on their LNG for several years into the future. Well, now there's finally going to be a little bit of competition in that from TEL, and there's a couple others trying to enter that space. And let's just check on TEL, how it's doing today. It was doing pretty good last time I looked. TEL is up.
Yeah, roughly about 5.8% at the moment.
Yeah, that's a pretty good chart on TEL, and I kind of like that stock myself. But, again, it's a little bit more longer duration than Devon Energy and others like that and LNG. But they are now a player in that industry. Relative strength of 98. They don't have any earnings yet. This is a $4.56 stock. Okay, and then a big carrier of liquefied natural gas, Golden Ocean. I think we've mentioned that before. GOGL. Actually, they're a dry bulk carrier, but there are others that are. I have a liquid natural gas carrier too. Golden Ocean, GOGL, is breaking out today. There's your combination of a high relative strength of 99. And a P.E. ratio of 6. GOGL, which is headquartered in Bermuda. A lot of the shipping companies, that's where their headquarters are, probably for tax reasons.
I would imagine.
And, you know, other reasons. Who knows what else. That stock is breaking out today. That's a beautiful chart. This is another, it's a smaller company, $3.1 billion. But GOGL... is also worth mentioning here today. And the third one I have is GRIN, G-R-I-N. And they are also a shipping company based out of Singapore. Look, you've got rising everything, wheat, sugar, corn, soybeans, natural gas, oil. Shipping rates are also going up. Grindrod, G-R-I-N, is another one with a relative strength of 99. That's as strong as it gets. And a P-E ratio of just 4. 99 to 4. So there's the three. And we mentioned AMD today, which is one of the biggest winners in the tech sector today. And it's a stock that we did get back into. Well, maybe a few weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah, it's the prodigal son of of Gunderson Capital Management.
It's always been good to me.
It comes
every
back.
Time
it
I've let it back in.
Right.
And we made a ton of money in it back when the 2020, 2019, when the momentum stocks were really flying. Okay, well, the market has given up about half of its gains here so far today. We got a speech by Jerome Powell. I'll set my clock, see if I feel any tremor, see if we pick up anything on the Richter scale. Usually you can feel it almost immediately as he speaks.
He did good at the last one.
As he spoke, the market continued to go higher. But he's been known to throw out a phrase or two to cool things down. So we'll see how that goes. Earnings season is now behind us. The market's a heck of a lot cheaper. The multiple has gone from 23 clear down to about 17, a little over 17 right now. So, yeah, it's a good time for stock picking. Looking for stocks that have come down to these much cheaper levels than they used to trade at. And, of course, there's still certain sectors that are favored over others by a long shot here in 2022. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or try out the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.